tell us about that. What is the Grand Auditorium?
Well, let me just start off by saying, Stan, that heaven is really a literal place, and yes, I have been there. I've been here in Houston to Astral World. I've been to Disneyland and Disney World, and heaven is God's magnificent creation that he has made for his children to spend with him throughout all eternity. And when I first left my body and went up and saw the foundations of the city, and I saw the 12 gates of pearl, and they're over 500 miles wide. I was granted access into the city, and I walked down and met a friend of mine. He began to take me on this tour. And after I went to what we described in yesterday's program as a library that contained the Book of Life and all of the other books there, he took me to this grand auditorium, which I describe as the magnitude of like the Astrodome here in Houston. You know, think of where a big football team, the Green Bay Packers, Kansas City Chiefs, whatever, Dallas Cowboys, think of something of that magnitude. There are different tiers or levels, and people are involved in all kinds of activity. Some people are worshiping God, and others are just busy around and just engaged in different activities, and some are just sitting and just listening to the great apostles that are teaching, choirs are singing, angels are singing. And it was there that I saw God's throne. And God's throne had this resilient, beautiful rainbow color around it. And the only way I can describe it was that it was just all different colors, again, emanating just life, pulsating, a multicolored display of a brilliance and resplendent color. And I saw lightning flashes. I heard like thunder sounds, but there wasn't the fear. Like we had a real severe storm here in Sugar Land the other night, and it turned the lights off and things. But there was no fear whatsoever, just awe and reverence. I saw God's throne. I saw him sitting on his throne. I saw the 24 elders seated around the throne that represented all of humanity. Now, they had golden crowns on their head. They had beautiful, magnificent white beards and white robes. And over to one side, I saw the Holy Spirit represented with these seven great lamps of fire. The best way I could describe it would be like a menorah, but they were just big lights of fire representing the Holy Spirit, because, of course, the Holy Spirit is now here upon the earth. And I saw from that throne room of God this beautiful, crystal clear body of water that the Bible calls the River of Life. Now, suddenly, I'm just clothed with a white, effervescent, glowing, transparent robe. Everyone that I saw in heaven had like this white robe on. My real feeling, Stan, and to the Prophecy Club members, is that I believe we're going back like in the Garden of Eden, like the first man and woman that were created in innocence, and all they were clothed in was the glory of God until original sin came and separated them from the presence of God. And of course the animal's blood had to be shed, and they took that skin and clothed themselves. But I there's no drawing to male or female body parts. There's no lust of any kind. And I remember literally that I was led by my friend down into this river. that was flowing. And I spoke in one program about the different levels and the different streets. So literally, this river came down and went into all those levels, those 12 different foundations and those different streets, and it flowed down. But I was taken into this body of water, and I remember drinking the water, and it was so refreshing to my taste. And it was like anything that might have tried to cling to you in this transition was just eradicated and washed away, a real purging. The water would just ran all the way through you, but there was no bottom. But I was standing on like a foundation. I was solid in support, and suddenly Jesus is in the river with me. And Jesus begins to just splash water on me. He just begins to throw water up, and just like two teenagers or children playing in a pool, we sit there and splash water back and forth on each other. You could transmit a thought, Stan, just without actual verbal communication. And you just knew, as Jesus looked at me, I just knew what he was thinking and what he wanted to say to me, and I reached down and picked up golden nuggets bigger than my fist. I often tell people, if you got a problem with prosperity, you're going to be miserable in heaven. And the precious little stones that filtered through my fingers, just like sand filtered through them, the light of the city, which there is no sun or moon there, Jesus is the light, and it shone upon these precious jewels, producing a prism and an aura of resplendent colors, again, such as I had never seen or witnessed before up till this time. And in the river, it was just so absolutely rejuvenating. It was like every single portion of my being and my every organ in my body was just alive, and it was just I don't know how to describe it any other way. It was just so rejuvenating. Then my friend just lifted me up, and I was just stood up on the other side of this magnificent, beautiful river. And I saw just a host of redeemed humanity, every nationality, every tribe, every tongue upon the face of the earth. And they were all singing in unison, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Now, I believe that there's like a universal language. And I can only say that I just understood everything. I understood everything that was spoken to me. I understood it in my language. But I believe if someone was in a different language, they would understand the same thing. But I asked my friend, I said, "Why are they singing that song that I sang in my church down on the earth below?" And my friend responded and said, "Gary, all songs of the Spirit originate in heaven." And that's where they start. First time, Stan, that I ever heard "Alleluia" was in heaven. First time I ever heard "He is Lord." First time I ever heard a lot of little choruses that we sing in our different gatherings today as believers was when I was there in heaven. Of course, being a music major from the earth below, this just captured my attention immensely. And my friend just began to share with me that all songs of the Spirit originate in heaven. That's where they all start. And, of course, you know well, and the listeners know well, that that was Satan's main job at one time.
All right, let me jump in here. I've got lots of questions.
Okay.
Okay, let's go back to the golden crowns that the 24 elders were wearing. I have often wondered, what does a crown look like?
okay? It was round. It had pinnacles, like points that came up, and then precious jewels across those crowns, all kinds of precious.
Does it look like a king's crown, like we see these kings wear?
That's the best way I can describe it.
It really does?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Are they wearing this to where it's like down on their eyebrow, or is it maybe more up on their...
It's above the eyebrows.
Just above the eyebrows. It goes all the way around.
About the crest of the top of the head down to top of the eyebrow.
Were they all different?
They were all the same. Every crown was the same.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and were they all gold?
All gold with precious jewels around them and surrounding them.
Okay, now, why? Because the Bible says that there's seven different crowns that we can earn.
Right.
How can a person wear more than one crown, or how's that work?
I think that's in relationship to the believers in regard to rewards that we're going to receive for our faithfulness in doing what God has assigned us to do here
on
the earth.
Okay, were the 24 elders the only ones that were wearing crowns?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that might explain why they were all the same, because they had all the same reward for there. But those are the only ones wearing crowns.
The angels didn't have crowns. Those are the only ones I saw wearing crowns. I believe after we are called up and we go to be with the Lord that there's going to be a time of judgment. It's time of judgment for the believer specifically, and in accordance to what we have done, and then we're going to be rewarded accordingly. And, of course, in the Bible says we're going to take those crowns eventually that we receive, and we're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Like the Romans
do they do that, by the way?
I'm sorry?
Why do they cast the crowns at Jesus' feet?
Well, because he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's worthy of all praise.
Why? I think because when we see clearly what really happened on earth,
yes,
every one of us is going to say, Lord, I don't deserve this. I'm sorry,
absolutely,
I'm getting emotional here, but they're going to say, Lord, I didn't do this. What did I do?
I didn't
do anything. You did it all. And that's the reason they're going to take those crowns off and throw them back and just say, Lord, they're yours.
Absolutely.
They're yours. Lord, I didn't do anything. What did I do? I didn't do anything. I couldn't have done anything. It was all you,
We'll be very humble. I remember when I first had an encounter with Jesus in heaven, the first thing I did was just fall at his feet, which I proclaimed that I believe will happen to everyone.
Amen.
Because you feel so inadequate and unworthy at that time. And that's when he spoke to me very clearly. Later on, he would say to me, don't ever buy into the condemnation of the devil that you are unworthy, because I redeemed you with my precious blood. But I definitely agree with what you're saying.
Okay, tell me what the thrones that the 24 elders were sitting on looked like.
Okay, they were just like big golden chairs where it had a tall back, much like you'd, describe it, it'd be like...
like we see in the movies or something.
Just like you see in the... Yes, sir, just like that. That's what I saw.
Solid gold.
Just solid, pure gold.
Okay, were they seated in a circle around the throne?
They were around behind the throne room of God.
Oh, back behind him.
Back behind God's throne.
Oh, really? Okay,
and
well, that's different.
And then there were like the rainbow colors that was over the top of God's throne.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
The rainbow colors, I know you said light, but what I really think you saw is, I haven't been there. I'm just asking.
Sure.
Just from my understanding of scriptures, is it really wasn't light as much as it was, because God is an all-consuming fire. It was like an energy that exuded the light, and everything had this live energy to it. I don't know if I can even explain.
That's a great description. That's exactly what I saw in it.
In other words, it wasn't like there was a light shining back there. It's like so much energy is coming out of him. It just bursts out in all directions in this light spectrum.
Exactly. I tried to capture it, and the artist that you told me about, I think, did a magnificent job on the new cover of our book and also on the video that we're going to have out. It just shone out and just it vibrated. It just vibrated with life. And I think it's just because it's the glory of God. There's just this golden aura, and when these different I'm trying to think. It's one like a strobe light, you know, how that thing will go and it'll produce different colors, and it's much like that.
Just exploding with unbelievable amounts of energy and glory.
Absolutely. Every time it hits you, it just goes into you, and you're just full.
Okay. Did you see the four-headed beast?
Yes, sir, I did.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Okay, tell me about it.
Well, it had the different
faces. That's awesome.
It had the different faces of the lion and the ox, and I just saw it, which I think it represents the different areas that we can have to worship and magnify and serve the Lord.
Were the faces changing, or was it like a being that literally had four different heads?
It had four different heads.
Now, was there a part of that being that also had wings on it?
I saw with two wings. The angels that I saw around the throne room of God had two wings. I saw angels while I was up there stand that had four wings and had six wings. The angels, I believe, that are signed specifically around the throne room of God have wings, two wings is what I primarily saw, and they would fold these wings like much, if maybe the listeners have ever seen the Ark of the Covenant, a picture of the Ark of the Covenant, they're over that, and they're surrounding also a trumpet that I saw sitting out there.
Really?
Which I believe is the trumpet
that God.
That's going to use to summon us home to be with him in eternity.
Okay, tell us about the trumpet. What does that look like?
it's a long, you know, it's not like a trumpet like Phil Driscoll plays.
It's not curled, then. You're saying it's like a long...
It's a long pipe, and then it's got the, you know, the opening, like maybe like would be in an English... movie or something like that.
In other words, it has an opening on one end, and then it's just a long straight tube back to the mouthpiece.
Exactly.
How big was it?
Okay, it's at least I would say 6 feet.
6 feet long.
Humongous.
Okay. All right. Let's go back.
But you got to understand the now. I never saw an angel stand that was under 40 feet tall.
Really?
Never.
40-foot angels?
At least 40 feet.
All right, I'm making a note of that here. I like that. Okay.
At least 40 feet, and then there were different...
So you're a pipsqueak compared to them, huh?
Absolutely. Even when you look at the angels in comparison to what I shared about the dimensions of the city, you see that even the angels look small, though, in relationship to the dimensions of this city. But in comparison to you and I, they are gigantic. That's why I always tell people always say that, you know, I'll accept Christ when I want to, or I'll do what I want to do. I'm a self-made man or woman or whatever. Well, one of these days we're going to bow either voluntarily here upon this earth. We will bow to Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and give him our heart unreservedly, or we will bow, stand. That one night, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Just one angel did that, sweeping through the camp, and they won't have any trouble whatsoever getting anybody to bow their knee.
Okay, I've got another question off subject, and you may not know, but I'm going to ask you. I mean, I'm a question answering or asking.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay, Revelation 10:3-4. I'll read it and ask you if you know what it is. And cried with a loud voice, as with a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Do you know what the seven thunders are?
No, sir. I don't have a revelation on that, really.
Well, that was a good question.
That's a good question. Next time I'm there, I'll ask you.
Okay, let's go back to the throne of God. What did it look like?
Okay, again, it was just a golden, magnificent throne. And
just like the other ones, just larger? Or was it
just a lot larger.
Okay. Roughly how tall were the 24 elders, and how tall was God's throne?
The 24 elders would be about probably 4 to 6 feet. God's throne would be beyond comprehension. It's well over 40 feet tall.
Okay. What did Jesus look like?
Okay, Jesus had olive complexion. I saw where they drove the nails in his hands, which I really show this. It's hard to describe this over the phone, but
it wasn't in the palm of the hand, was it?
It was not in the palm.
That's what I thought. It's up above the wrist.
Yes, sir.
Right?
And it right above the wrist, and the Romans
About where your watch would go.
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
That's
yeah.
exactly where it was, and the Romans invented this from the Phoenicians, and they were very detailed. If it had been in the palm, as is described in a lot of pictures, it had ripped off from the sheer weight of him hanging.
Oh man! So time is gone. All right.